State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with your friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing a pic from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
If y'all Crockett.
What's happening, though?
What up?
How y'all been, man?
I'm blessed. Been a long time.
Yeah, been a long time since I've been in this seat.
That hoodie hard.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Yeah, I like that with the pick on the front.
Yeah, yeah. My girl Keisha hooked me up with this real quick.
What's up, Keisha?
What up, Keish?
Now, I saw you was hosting the Martin reunion, man, on BET Plus.
Yeah.
How was that?
Let me tell you something, man. We all grew up on Martin.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's one thing to be able to, like, imagine if you watched Sanford and Son all your life.
Right.
And you was able to sit on the junkyard and interview them on the set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, Martin is one of my biggest influences. So to be able to sit in that seat and ask all of the questions as a fan, that it's still mind-blowing. It hasn't even sunk in that I was on the set. Talking to Martin and the cast.
Did he handpick you? Or like, how did that come about?
Yeah, I got a relationship with Martin. He's my big bro.
Okay.
So we've worked together before. Tisha, Tashina, I got a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, they reached out. They was like, yo, Afe, we want you to do it. You're the guy. I was like, say less.
Dope.
What's up? Get my mauve suit.
Yeah, see.
Mauve.
It's mauve.
Now, you do...
It's mauve.
You do pretty much everybody's voices. You make fun of everybody with skits. Has anybody ever stepped to you where it was like, you know what? Maybe I should not be in the same building with that person again.
Just Charlamagne.
Just Charlamagne?
Charlamagne threatened my life one time.
Never. That never happened. Come on.
Nah.
How does that look? Charlamagne threatening my life.
Exactly. Anybody's life. Right. Nah, nobody.
Nobody at all.
The thing about it is when people see me do impressions of them, especially in the hip-hop world, they know that I'm a hip-hop head.
Yeah.
So Nas, for example, asked me to do him before. He asked me,
pause.
He asked me to do
mercy.
Pause.
Jesus Christ.
Super Bowl. Before you got to it, I was like, wait a second. That didn't come out right. But yeah, he asked me to do an impression of him. Hey, I know y'all niggas ain't laughing because y'all was fingering a booty hole.
with no pause.
With no pause. It was nothing but lotion. It was plenty of lubrication. And this nigga was giggling. Envy was like,
you want me to put my finger in there? Wait. I've never done this before.
You see, right? He's trying to act disgusted. Like, you want me to put my finger in there? I thought it was a cake. I was like, the only thing left to do is to cut this shit and eat it. With no pause.
So do you ever play gay games with your friends?
Whoa, wait a second. How did we get here? No, I've never done what you guys have done. What the fuck is going on, man?
You brought it up.
Look, where's Angela Yee when you need her? I need a female presence in this bitch. I need a vagina in the room.
Yeah, too much masculine energy going on. I think it's masculine.
I think.
It ain't masculine, but it's definitely dick.
There's a lot of balls in here today. A lot of balls.
Now, where would you rank yourself as an impressionist when it comes to like Jay Farrell?
I don't.
Godfrey.
I've gone on record as to say Jay Farrell is impressionist 2.0. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself an impressionist. That's if you believe that or not. Mm-hmm. I consider myself an artist who plays the part. I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. So the same way you see Denzel play whoever, Hurricane Carter or Malcolm X, he dives into the role, mm-hmm. and he gives you, you know what I'm saying, the details that you need for that character. That's how I am with impressions too.
Okay.
Because I don't just do impressions. But as far as the ranking the impressionists, to me, Jay Farrell and Godfrey are two of the best that I've ever seen.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Easily. So yeah, if I had to rank myself out of them, I mean, Ari Spears too. He's another GOAT with it. Mm-hmm. I don't rank myself. I would put all of them before me.
Jay put you up there. Jay said he thinks you one of the best impressionists.
Well, that's very humble of him. Thank you, Jay Farrell. Appreciate that. But no, I think they do way more impressions than me.
Yeah. You
way
do Jay
more.
Nas.
Yeah, I mean, I do a few. Like, I do the Russell Simmons.
Russell Simmons.
Russell, Jay, and then the newest one I've been doing over the pandemic was Maya Angelou. Everybody was like, how the fuck do you do Maya Angelou? Because I just do, okay? It just is what it is.
Why Maya Angelou?
I have no idea. Like, literally, I was talking to a couple of my homegirls, and they just randomly mentioned Maya, and I just started doing it one night, and they fell on the ground laughing. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay. And if you listen to the way I do the Maya Angelou voice, it's not too far from Jay-Z, because mm-hmm. Jay has this thing. Stop, I didn't say the thing yet, nigga. Don't laugh yet, Charlamagne. It's kind of in the same register. Mm-hmm. So as Jay talks like this, you know, you have to just go right there. Mm-hmm. It blends right in to my attention.
Yeah. Hold
on, I never thought about that, yo.
It's the same person.
Is it the same? Is it because of the rhyme? But he don't rhyme when he talk. I wonder why it's like that.
They're both rappers.
They're both poets. Yeah.
Maya is the best rapper that ever lived. Whatever you choose to take is whatever you give. Phenomenal woman am I. Phenomenally, it's me, not Jay-Z.
See,
it
just goes right
with blends.
Now, Hov had to come to you one time and even find it funny or not funny.
No, Hov loves the impression. Like, the first time I met him, I thought I was going to get slapped. I ain't going to lie.
Really?
This was a long time ago in D.C. when Obama first got inaugurated. So Jay did the concert right before. Mm-hmm. And this ain't a flex at all. I happen to run into Charlie Mack. I'm just walking, taking pictures in D.C., mm-hmm. and I see Charlie Mack. Everybody know Charlie.
Absolutely.
And Charlie's standing Mack. Outside the venue, backstage. I was like, Charlie, what up? And he's like, hey, what's up, baby? Come on. Yeah. I got you. No, I'm waiting for few people, but I got you. Come on. So I get backstage with Charlie Mack. It's just me and him.
So you wasn't invited, you just snuck in?
I just snuck in. I was with Charlie Mack. And I'm sitting on a speaker. I'm just in the back. I'm watching dudes working and shit. And then all of a sudden, a wave of people come down the stairs. And it's Jay and his entourage. They about to go to the stage, right? So I'm sitting on the speaker. The stage is right here. He's coming down the stairs, and they're all about to go to the stage. He sees me and starts walking over to me. And you know how in the movies when the camera's coming toward you, but you start to get smaller? That's how I felt. I was like, oh, shit.
Here you go.
Here it go. It's going down.
And you by yourself.
I'm dolo.
Jay would never get his hands dirty. Now, Tata might pepper spray.
If you see Tata, then
either way, I thought someone was going to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he walks up to me. He extends his hand. He's like, "Yo, you be doing the Jigga Man. I like that." And he gave it, you know, the third person acknowledgement. You know, "You be doing the Jigga Man." I was like, "All right, whatever name you choose to use, yes, sir.
Yeah,
you're 100% right." And that whole night, he just kept walking up to me, making sure I was good. Like, yeah. And then Mary was on stage, Mary J. Blige. And he was like, "I bet you can't do that. I bet you can't sing like that." So he was like really cool. He was really cool. And then we did a drop on video and he showed the love and he made me do the laugh in front of him.
Wow.
So nothing but respect, man.
So if you didn't want to do the laugh, you had to do the laugh. Do the laugh. He was like, nah, I want
to He put his arm around my neck. Envy, I think you know what that means when
do the laugh.
Do the laugh.
Do the laugh.
If a nigga does that to you, it's like DJ. You like, all right,
jigga, 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 all
right. Jigga, jigga.
Now, did you see the viral video of the woman who was complaining that her child's father only buys food for his son and not her other kids? That.
Yeah, I saw it.
What's your thoughts on that?
She need to shut the fuck up. She need to go viral shutting the fuck up.
Did you see her, though?
Did I see her?
Yeah, she did a video.
I was just watching out in the lobby. Oh, okay. And she was explaining with her wig on, and she was like, "You know, he knew what the situation was, and I had four other kids." And, bitch, just those kids came out of your vagina. Those are your responsibility.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I'm buying my kid food. Now, if I got a relationship with those other kids, and it's that kind of day, and it's my kid's party, and I invite them all, I'm gonna take care of all of them. Mm-hmm. But if it's a situation where we broke up and I'm visiting my kid.
Every day he brings the kid McDonald's.
Well, she's saying that he used to buy McDonald's for the other kids, but now that they're not together,
no more.
We broke up with the kids too, bitch. fuck them kids. I broke up with the kids too. When I left you, them kids got left. They didn't come out of my dick.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Kids didn't come out my balls, yo. They don't get McDonald's. That's facts. On my dime.
That's facts.
It is a sense of entitlement she has, though, and it's a privilege that she clearly wasn't appreciating. You know what I mean? And now mm-hmm. that guy's gone, she's not realizing, like, he doesn't have to do this.
He don't. Yeah. And what she fails to realize, too, is most guys, unfortunately, don't take care of their own kids. So the fact that he's showing up every day to see his kid, right. even though he got tension with her, mm-hmm. not to say that he get a point for that, because you're supposed to take care of your kid, but... She's bugging. That's all.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
We
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So, connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
I can tell you, she's bugging.
Now I was going to ask you, now you're in Carolines this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So when you're on stage now, everything is so sensitive. Do you watch what you say and do you curb your jokes or?
Nah, I do say wild shit.
You just call that lady a bitch.
You never know what can be offended. Like to me, when I hear you say the word B, I understand culture, joke, you know right. What I mean? But some people
I say it a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I say it and I see the women laugh, they understand that I'm saying it in the funny way. Mm-hmm. Like I'm never being derogatory. But the point, to answer your question, no, I don't edit what I say because it comes from a real place to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not coming from a disrespectful place. And when you hear the context of what I'm saying, mm-hmm. people don't get offended by that. I mean, I did have a Karen last year.
I saw that when she stormed the stage on you.
That was a mix of alcohol and entitlement, you know, old school Karen entitlement.
So when she does storm the stage, what do you do? What do you think? Because first of all, there was no storm.
Let's just talk about it, right? Let's get into the nitty gritty of it.
She skipped.
No, she actually crawled. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm on stage and I'm playing to my left side, and I look out my peripheral. And she literally has her hands on the stage like a baby learning to walk. Like she's, and in my mind, we in Jacksonville, shout out to Duval. We're in Jacksonville, Florida. And the stage is packed, like in front of the stage is packed. And I'm thinking she has to go to the bathroom and she can't get her way around. So the only way for her to get to the bathroom is to come on stage and then walk down the stairs in the front. And then when she stands up, and then she had her hands in the Sally Struthers hands, like she's about to save a little nigga, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's about to plead. I said, oh, she has something she wants to say.
Yeah.
I need to hear this. Now, some people were like, hey, man, she could have killed you. She could have, nigga, I assessed her vital organs like the Terminator within 2 seconds. Like, I'm a martial artist. I know danger when I'm around it. I don't have to look. You don't have to be in front of me for me to feel the danger, mm-hmm. right? At no point did I feel like my life was threatened. So I don't know, man.
I saw a white thug storm the stage on you, Avion. That's what I saw.
You ain't see that.
I saw a white thug. She's a white thug. She was a white thug who was trying to creep up on you. That's why she was crawling. And she needed to be treated as
and
such.
She had a posse with her.
She needed to be treated like the thug she is.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't think of it and look at it in that way. I stand corrected. That woman was a danger to society.
Yes, she was.
And to my young black life.
That's right.
That's right.
Even though I'm not that young. But nah, man. I could have easily gave her the Enter the Dragon Bruce Lee slow motion sidekick and had that bitch fly over 18 people.
See, and you can't because you're a black man. So as soon as you do that,
the headline would have been different.
That's right.
That's what I knew. I was like, yeah, what am I going to do to this woman mm-hmm. that's going to be positive for me? Other than, you know, I talked about it for about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So verbally, she caught that ass whooping.
Yeah.
But outside of that, she was wobbling and doing her thing. And
what was she upset about?
Because I was talking about sex, and she was just like, you're offending a lot of people in here. And I said, all these grown-ass black people in here? I asked them, are y'all offended by me talking about fucking? And it was like, hell no. Get your white ass off the stage, is what they said.
How you come to a comedy show and you mad because somebody talking about sex?
Clearly she wasn't getting enough.
What was the context?
Come to Caroline's this weekend, okay, and you'll find out the context of the sex jokes that I be talking about. I'm talking about my dick going inside vaginas.
And the crazy part, that they let her sit back in the show after doing that?
No. She got kicked out.
Oh, okay. They escorted
her right out.
Wow.
And I did 20 long minutes on her after that. It was because it was unexpected. Like, mm-hmm. She threw off the flow of the show for everybody. And then it made TMZ, and it caught on. And then the next city I went to, another white woman tried it.
What?
Yeah, but my boy Carlos, he was like, bitch. He flew to the front of the stage and was like, nope, we're not even going to acknowledge this.
Now, was this before the Will Chris Rock thing?
Yeah, it was before that.
Okay. So this, I mean, I got, you
this
know,
was, I think it was a clout chase. It was a TMZ moment. She was like, oh, that other white woman got on TMZ. So let me try my hand at it. And we didn't even acknowledge it.
Are you concerned about that type of stuff as a comedian now? Because
not at all.
Like, you see what happened to Dave. You know, I mean, Will and Chris, that's, I hate when people even bring that up, because that's a once in a generation
thing. Yeah,
and
I hate when people start saying comedians are under attack. No, the fuck we not. These are all isolated incidents.
Mm-hmm.
Even the guy, I was there when Chappelle got attacked, and, you know, I knew what was about to happen to him, because I knew who all, we were all there. So,
yeah.
That was even an isolated incident. That was somebody who had a personal beef with Dave and his content and whatever his clout chase moment was. But I'm not concerned.
That's scary, though. You look at the weapon he brought in and the fact that he was able to get on that stage.
No,
that's very scary. You know what I mean? Like you said, you could be looking to the left talking to these people and he come behind you.
Right. But again, if I feared that, then I would fear going to the grocery store, going
to
the mall, going to the airport. Because niggas is wild in the airports now. I don't know if you've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fighting and doing all kind of stuff. So it is what it is, man. If it's my time, it's my time. But I don't walk in or live in fear of that.
I didn't know you knew martial arts.
There's a lot you don't know. You know, you guys finger booty holes in here. Big rubber.
That is martial arts.
That is not martial arts.
Yes, it is.
That,
Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off.
That is partial arts, nigga. That
we
is
can
not...
kill people with these fingers, Avion, okay? Mm. That we were practicing martial arts in that moment.
But yeah, you know, I'm not a master or anything like that, but I know enough to get away.
What belt?
No belt.
Oh, okay.
No. Wing Chun.
You know what's so interesting? And I say this all about time. Nick Cannon knows martial arts too. People think if you want to.
I know. Like, Nick is a little bro. I've known Nick for a long time, obviously wilding out. But Nick trains. The thing about Nick that people sleep on is how multi-talented he really is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where he got caught up in this, what people call him corny, but he's far from corny. Mm-hmm. The dude, I used to watch him on set. He would have a programming music board in front of him. He'd be programming beats, and the MTV execs would be trying to have a meeting with him, and he's meeting with him. He's talking mm-hmm. about the next line of shows and blah, blah, blah. Then he's DJing an after party, literally DJing. And then he's getting on stage with us, and he's doing characters, and he's doing, then he freestyle raps, and then he dances too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really a multi-hyphenate dude. And then he's got a bunch of kids.
So who's more talented, Nick Cannon or Michael Jackson?
Oh, shut up, man.
What?
You could karate chop Charlamagne right now if you want.
He gonna get...
That's a valid question.
Come on, man. Let's just move on from that. Charlamagne.
Okay, it's clearly Nick Cannon.
Come on, Charlamagne.
No, seriously, you know, we talked about it. Charlamagne was out this week. Chris Brown, Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Who's more talented?
Chris said it himself. He said, that's cap. You can't even compare the two, because Michael is the influence of Chris, right?
Very true.
So it's almost like saying who's more talented between Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor. You can't, one doesn't cancel out the other. I actually heard Eddie say this years ago on Arsenio. He said there was a time when people were trying to pit him and Richard against each other, and Richard was feeling like, oh, you the new young guy that's stealing my thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eddie says, if I come to high school and get 100 on my test this year, and years ago you got 100 on your test, does my 100 cancel out your 100?
No.
It doesn't. So why can't we just let Chris be great now and Michael was great then? Period.
Mm-hmm.
There's no who's more talented, because to me they're talented in different ways. Chris is a more youthful Chris crumps and does. He's a b-boy. He's a multiple hyphenate.
Flips while he dances.
He does all of that shit. Michael wasn't flipping, but the stuff Michael did. I saw Michael in concert.
Really?
I saw people fainting in front of. I've seen a lot of people in concert, and let me tell you something. I've never seen niggas faint at any other concert, and I've seen all the greats. Michael by far was the one that was an alien on stage. He made people come. He made people float. Niggas was wilding. They had emergency tents on the side of his shows for ER, like for people that was passing out or whatever. They was convulsing. They was doing all kind of shit. But Michael just had that effect on people. So his gift is beyond a talent. Like, oh, he can dance really good. Mm-hmm. Mike was phenomenal.
Yeah, the problem with the Michael Jackson, Chris Brown debate is that they're not even talking music and dancing no more. Like, you know, they start to, oh, he can play basketball and he can spray paint. It's like, what that got to do with what we talking about?
And then
about?
We're dealing with a series of people that don't recognize talent. The generation that we're in, you're going to have to be talented to make it. So very you have true. A lot of people who have no idea what talent is. You know, everything is viral videos and reality shows. There's mm-hmm. You don't have to be talented to be famous now. Mm-hmm. So when people are talking about talent and who's more talented, they don't know what the fuck they're saying.
I don't even know what fame is anymore. We had Kim Fields in here yesterday, and I was saying to Kim, like, man, you came up in the 80s when celebrity was celebrity.
Real. Yeah.
That's why it's still last night. That's why you see them now, be like, oh, shit.
Right. Fame was real. Yeah, it's you don't have to do anything to qualify to be famous now. You just have to be seen a whole bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And when people see you on the street and recognize you and want to take a picture with you, now you're famous.
So does that cheapen like somebody like yourself who's actually talented.
Right.
Do you think people appreciate that talent?
They probably don't, but I don't hang my validation on that.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am. I know what I got. Like, I haven't been on y'all show in damn near 11 years.
Yeah, 10, 11
years. Damn, it's been that long?
Yeah, it's been a long time. This is only my second time on this show.
Yeah.
Yet I'm still relevant 11 years later.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, for me, it don't matter what they're saying or how they define me. I just do what the fuck I do. And because I know that they're not qualified to put me in a category or a box,
mm-hmm.
I just keep doing what I do.
And you made those adjustments, right? Because, you know, you see you on social media. We saw you on the joint with Cardi B when y'all was out in the woods. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Cardi tried. Shout out to Cardi B, man. She's one of the sweetest people in the world.
Cardi's dope.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, you know, since you grinded, we talked about your grinding, how long you've been grinding. Do you respect some of these new comedians that come up and necessarily don't have to grind the same way?
1,000%.
Why?
1,000. I was just talking to Country Wayne the other day and telling him the same thing. Like, we put so much emphasis on the platform that they're using, mm-hmm. right? When we all have this access to the same platform.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they're using it and it looks easier and they don't have to grind, that you sound like the old nigga. Like, man, back in my day,
mm-hmm.
we had to walk 18 miles in snow barefooted. Nah. When I see those guys, it puts me in a mindset of Def Comedy Jam back in the day or Comic View, right? That's the so-called the traditional way of how you grind to be a comedian, right? There was garbage niggas there, too.
True.
And there was greatness in that platform, too. So now you have garbage on the internet and you have greatness on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So Ha-Ha Davis, Country Wayne, Desi Banks.
Jess Hilarious.
Jess Hilarious, Pretty Miss V.
Pretty V, yeah.
They are all hilarious. I literally watch their pages. I don't just watch one video. I will scroll through their pages and just have a good laugh because they're very clever. They're very funny. And they've taken that platform and used it to their advantage. So why wouldn't I use it in the same way? I have the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a traditional stand-up. So I don't feel no kind of way. I feel like, thank God they found a newer way to do it and to reach the audience directly. It cuts out the middleman. You know what I mean? Agents and managers don't always have the answer. And a lot of times they don't have the patience or the desire to help develop you. And so I'm thankful that these guys figured out a way. The white boy, Trevor Wallace, is hilarious.
I don't know him. I look him up.
Look up Trevor Wallace. He's stupid, but he's selling out theaters just off the internet. You know, you don't need necessarily to have a stand-up special anymore
mm-hmm.
to get that visibility and to have people want to come see you. Like we were just saying earlier, your fame is based on how many times they see you over and over and over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what fame is cumulative now. You can put a number to it. But to answer your question, I feel no kind of way. I love these the folks that are on the internet that are funny. I was just watching in the lobby. Y'all watch Filet? The dude that does the basketball.
Yeah.
Hey man, I get great laughs watching him, and all he's doing is commentary.
Yeah.
But it's the way he's saying it. It's a talent. Yep. It's how he's describing basketball, something we all love to watch. But he because he plays, he's watching it in a certain way, and then he's singing the, you know, Filet. Yeah. You know, it's just dope. I get a kick out of all that shit, and I'm not a hater. I support anybody that's doing it the right way, or that's funny.
You think because we were born in like the 1900s,
right?
That we're looking for something to validate these people, like instead of just enjoying them and realizing this is the new way, we're waiting for them to get signed to a TV show or a movie.
I think we live in a hater culture.
Mm.
That's what hip hop has become. We can't wait to hate. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it with y'all. I've seen it with anyone who is doing their thing. People want to find something to say to tear you down. Mm-hmm. And that's just our culture. I don't know why the fuck that is. Back in the 70s, it was more peace, love, and you know what I'm saying, and hair grease, and everybody was more like, yeah, brother, yeah, sister, and it was more unity. And something about this hip-hop world, man, where we want to throw away everything tomorrow and, oh, you still wearing them slides? Oh, yeah. Nigga, them shits is last week, nigga.
Word.
You need the new shit, and this the new shit. So we do that with our gems, too. You know what I mean? Thank God for the New Edition movie, for example, because we all love New Edition,
absolutely,
right? But it opened them up to a new fan base,
right?
That movie, and now they're thriving again. They're having another wave, and they've had about 75 waves. Mm-hmm. But I say that to say, it's a shame that a lot of our artists got to do joint concerts in theaters when Rolling Stones can do arenas for the rest of their life, or U2, because they don't throw away their gems.
That's right.
We always want the next new hot shit.
I was saying that in radio as well. Like, you listen to some of the pop stations, they still play Rolling Stones.
Right.
But now, if you listen to some of these hip-hop stations, you won't hear an LL Cool J. You won't hear a new edition.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Unless it's Poison. Poison
ain't blasphemy. Yeah, they're going to play that.
They're going to play Poison. But like, you don't even hear Montel Jordan, "This Is How We Do It," unless it's a throwback hour. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is crazy because, like you said, it's still our gems. It's still our music. It still hits.
And we need to value that. We need to value the gems, man. And I think we're so quick to throw away and to hate on. And, you know, people want to see you fall. Mm-hmm. They want to see the scandal. But what I've learned on how to pivot out of that, all that shit, is because of all of that, we live in a short attention span generation.
That's real.
So you do some dumb shit today, and it's by next Thursday, they're going to forget about that shit because there's going to be 40 other things that happen.
Absolutely.
And by the way, people don't really care, because here's the truth to the matter. If all of those people that critique us got the same type of critique every day, dog, that culture wouldn't even exist.
It would.
Because nobody would want that smoke. Nobody would want that for themselves.
And you're right. So the people that sit back and critique everything that we do, right?
Envy, I don't like his beard. His beard is fake. I've heard people saying that.
But it's true. That's true.
That's not true. I've heard them saying that. And they talking about your transformation of your face.
That's true, too.
He bleaches his skin. That's true.
I never bleached, but I got a good dermatologist.
No Vibes Cartel?
No Vibes Cartel. I got a good dermatologist, though.
He bleaches.
No surgery, either. They think I got surgery.
No Sammy Sosa.
No Sammy Sosa.
And he gets his eyebrows done.
Never got my eyebrows done.
You do get your eyebrows
done. No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I've never got my eyebrows done. I would tell y'all.
You didn't get not one thread, no pluck.
No reconstruction surgery on my eyebrows.
That's why it goes up like this.
Now, to be honest, I did get them arched back in the day, but I'll tell you why.
See? Look, the truth always comes out. It always comes out.
I never touched
my eyebrow. Except for one time back in 1979 when I had one incident.
I did. I used to do telemarketing, my two homegirls, Nina and Shamira.
We don't care about the story now. It's the fact that you had it done.
But they gassed me up. They told me Tupac got his eyebrows arched.
All right. The fact is, you got it done, and you fucking lied about it 2 minutes ago. And now you had to fess up.
You got it done.
So that means every other thing is true.
It's
you had reconstructive surgery.
You got surgery for
your
nose.
Bleach.
You got bleach.
You got all that. The bleaching cream is real. It's all real. I forgot what our point was, but.
What was we talking about?
I don't know.
Not a goddamn thing.
We get old.
No, he's not getting. Stop it.
Now,
what do you think about the current state of like just comedy? Is stand up still matter?
Oh, 1,000%.
Okay.
I think comedy's in a great place, actually. Like, we all making money off of it. The bags are nice. It's a way for you to control your own voice and destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of us out here getting it and with legitimate fan bases, and comedy is very necessary. You know, I get people all the time coming up to me saying, man, during the pandemic, you saved my life. These are the words that they use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just doing what I'm doing. I don't think about who I'm affecting or whose life I'm so-called saving. But the fact that they feel that I helped them through whatever dark time they was in, I know what my purpose is. I know that I'm in my purpose. And even though I go through my own dark shit, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I go through my own struggles. And I'm glad you are one of the first advocates of therapy. I've been in therapy for the last 3 years, too.
Dope.
So just managing my own transparency of my own, you know, my bags of darkness or my bags of trauma, I'm happy that I can help somebody else through my gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
What got you in therapy? What was the reason you decided to go?
Relationship. I was breaking up with this girl, and in the middle of an argument we were having, I saw the spotlight turn around on me. And I was like, wait, I've been here before with several other women. This same type of argument, the same exact energy. It has to be me. It has to be something that I'm doing to attract this type of toxicity. And I literally got on the phone with my boy Jay Lee. Jay Lee is an actor. He's a comedian too. But he's one of the first friends that I had that talked about therapy, right? He did a whole movie about it with Michael Ealy called Atypical Wednesdays. And so I called him in the midst of that argument. Like, she's packing her shit. She's doing all that shit. I said, yo, man, can you refer me to your therapist? I think I need to talk to somebody. Like, I was really in that mindset. And so anyway, long story short, I ended up getting a therapist. And I wanted to make sure it was a black therapist because I didn't want to have to explain the black experience to somebody, too, on top of other trauma, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, so I started going, and we clicked immediately. And she helped me really navigate my life and to put it on the table. And that's something that I don't mind doing anyway. I like to be transparent with myself, mm-hmm. and I don't like to lie to myself.
You know? I mean, most comedians are very self-aware. That's why y'all are able to be so observational.
Yeah, but a lot of us feel like, especially in this hip-hop culture, a lot of us feel like we still have to be tough and that we got to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be, we think we're rappers. You know, we mm-hmm. try to act like what rappers personify. And I'm not trying to do that, man. Like, I can rap, but that don't mean I got to act like, your shit is all good, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. I got my entourage. Man, fuck these niggas, man. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever. Comedians are way realer than rappers. Comedians are way realer than rappers. To me.
No, but rappers aren't allowed to be real.
Yeah.
The culture of rap does not allow them to be vulnerable. And I use the word soft loosely, but you get looked at as soft if you're a rapper that's crying or
mm-hmm.
or showing emotion about something. It just, you know, rap is still built on that street mentality. And I get it. Like, I bump that shit in the whip, but I don't want to feel angry all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Some comedians say they don't want to go to therapy and stuff because they don't want to fix that trauma because they feel like that trauma is like the source of a lot of their inspiration, their creativity, their jokes.
Nah, get that shit out. Get that shit out. I don't give a fuck how creative you think it's making you. Go to therapy and get that stuff out because there's always a pattern that you're leaving when there's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pattern that you're living and there's a pattern that you're leaving in the wake of whoever's path that you cross.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that out. You know, it's a lot of people that say cocaine makes them a better artist.
Yeah.
All right, but that shit is fucking your brain up, though. You know what I'm saying? You may have five fire projects off of that cocaine, but you need to get healed from that. You need
Absolutely.
You need to flush.
Did it help you? You know, breaking up, people don't realize that's grieving. You know what I'm saying? When you break up with somebody.
Remember?
Oh, for sure.
Dude called the radio yesterday, and he was hurt. Him and his girl broke up,
yeah.
And he was grieving.
I'm like, you grieving.
No, it's real. I was on tour years ago when I first started with this older comedian, and he said, calmly, he said, a woman can make you feel your best, and a woman can make you feel your worst. Mm-hmm. That's all he said.
Damn.
Bars. And hell yeah, I grieve.
Mm-hmm.
I grieve, because it's hard when you really are in love with somebody and you cannot figure out how to make it work. Mm-hmm. And then you start going back and saying, man, where did I go wrong somewhere? Did I not get to know this person enough to bond with them and to make it real, to make it last?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. And, you know, a lot of times we breaking up with one person is hard. And some of us have broken up with five people.
Right.
And that shit is tough. It's tough to carry. So you got to get therapy for those things. And then realize how the relationship that your parents had affected you.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's where a lot of the trauma lives. So therapy, go get it.
Word.
And this weekend you gonna be at Caroline's.
They didn't believe in me.
Friday
at Caroline's did
9:45 Saturday at 7 and Saturday at 9:45. You can get your tickets at carolines.com, and we appreciate you for joining us.
New York didn't believe in me. Caroline's did.
When it's all said and done, how do you think people gonna remember Avion Crockett?
They're gonna remember me as the guy that did it his way. you know, with a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't complain. I don't ask people for shit. I just do it my way. I don't mind putting my money where my mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
I finance my own projects. I have the attitude of gratitude, and I don't feel entitled to anything. No one owes me anything. So hopefully when they remember me, they're like, yo, that dude worked his ass off, and he did it with a smile.
All right.
We appreciate you for joining us. And how do you pronounce your name, the correct name?
Afion.
Afion. He called you Afion.
He called me Afion just now. But I think that was...
Afion? So, all these years been Afion?
There's no V in my fucking name, Charlemagne.
I just thought it was
pronounced that way. I can say Charlemagne.
I didn't know.
How the fuck do you say Charlemagne? There's a G in that motherfucker. How did I know how to say that? I didn't say Charlemagne.
I don't think I've ever heard that. Afion.
How did you not hear it? Nigga,
I always thought they were saying Afion this whole time. Wow. You learn something new every day.
My goodness. Afion Crockett.
Charlemagne, fuck you. And just give me the number to your eyebrow specialist. Because before my show's at Caroline, I want to make sure my shit is lined up and plucked and all going in the right direction.
So last question before we get up out of here. We always ask the Mount Rushmore of comedians.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
That's a long list. But for me, I have to talk about who influenced me the most.
Correct.
Okay.
Number one is Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Martin Lawrence.
Okay.
The Wayans family I count as one because
that's a lot of faces. But
it's a lot of faces on that. But you know, Keenan and Damon and all of them.
So you mean when you say Wayans, you mean just with the show or with stand up? The TV,
everything Wayans. Okay. Those they don't get talked about enough
as
comedy royalty.
That's true.
Right. Writing, producing, performing, stand up. Nepotism, right? In the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't get talked about enough.
And you kind of unofficial Wayne in a way.
Yeah, I'm Afion Wayans. They adopted me.
They
definitely adopted me, but rightfully so. And I was able to say this to Keenan when we did Dance Flick. I said, you know, I went to the school of Wayans. I went to your school. I studied everything you did. And he looked at me and said, you did it the right way. You did great. You soaked up all the right information, and that's why you're here. So, yeah, I definitely, no cap. Like I really studied those folks.
Who's the first one that embraced you? Was it Marlon?
Marlon and Sean, because I auditioned for them for this pilot that we did on VH1, and I made them niggas laugh so hard in the room. Sean threw a water bottle at me while I was still in audition mode, right? I was playing this rapper, and I was freestyle rapping, and I was just going off in the room. But anyway, the two of them were the ones that understood the DNA, because I studied them. They were the younger Wayanses, so when they used to do those characters, Snuff and Rome, I copied that. Like, I really was just, you know, I dialed into that voice of what they did. But anyway.
Eddie Martin
Wayans. Wayanses.
One more.
George Carlin.
Oh yeah.
I would have said Chris Rock because he's up there too, but he's influenced by Carlin as well. So
Absolutely. We
got to go to the source. But again, that Mount Rushmore is a long list of people.
I slept on Carlin, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I've always heard the greatness of George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw that doc that's on HBO Max right now,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, man, there's nobody doing that right now.
Fearlessly.
Yeah.
And he was doing it way back then.
Yep.
So, you know, imagine if he was alive today and doing some of that same material, how it would be received or not received
right.
because of the sensitivities that we're in. But honorable mention to Richard Pryor, like, he's the godfather of it all. I don't think he can even be ranked. And like it or love it, the genius of Cosby as a comedian, it's warranted. He did some brilliant stuff as a businessman, as a comedian. All the other shit I can't vouch for.
Gotcha. Charlemagne, you want to say his name right?
What's my name?
Afion.
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 Oh, my goodness,
you motherfucker.
Mr. Crockett.
That's what Russell Simmons, he says Afion. It's very, he never said it the correct way. Afion sounds smarter. It sounds more lucrative. You should say Afion. He calls me Afion all the time.
This guy's good. He's good. He's good.
Appreciate you, Charlemagne.
Afion Crockett is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, 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 I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.